We are approaching the days of Rosh Hashanah, the days of judgment, and all of us are getting prepared to these holy days, and we want to ask Hashem for all of these kind of things that we need, health, wealth, and other things. I will start with a short vort that I saw in the writings of a Hasidic Rebbe, Rabbi David Eibeshitz, in his book Arvei Nachal. We say in Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, ותתננו השם אלוקינו באהבה את יום הזיכרון הזה, יום תורה מקרא קודש, זכר יציאת מצרים. And you gave us Hashem, our God, in love this day of remembrance, a day for sounding the shofar, a day of holy assembly, commemorating the exodus from Egypt. And the question is, what is the connection between Rosh Hashanah and the exodus of Egypt? I understand how Pesach is connected to the exodus of Egypt. That's the day that we left Egypt. I understand Sukkot. But what is the connection between Rosh Hashanah and the exodus of Egypt? So he says a very, very nice idea. That what is the most famous promise ever made? What is the most famous covenant ever made? Brit bin Abtarim, the covenant between Avraham Avinu and Hashem. And Hashem tells Avraham Avinu in the covenant, he says, ויאמר לאברהם, in source number 2, ידוע תדע כי גר יהיה זרעך בארץ לא להם ועבדום ועינו אותם 400 שנה. Hashem tells Abraham that his children will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But in fact, how long have we been in Egypt? We're in Egypt only for 210 years. So what happened? Hashem himself tells Avraham Avinu in the covenant that we'll be there for 400 years. How did it shorten to 210? Their answer is, at source number 3, ותל שבתם אל האלוקים וישמע אלוקים את נקתם. A long time after they were enslaved, the king of Egypt died, the Israelis were groaning under the bondage and cried out, and their cry for help rose up to God, and God heard their moaning. Hashem heard their davening, Hashem heard their prayers, and although the 400 years weren't over, they were released after 210 years. So we see the magnificent power of tefillah, the magnificent power of praying, that although Hashem himself, Borei Olam, says that you will be enslaved for 400 years, but if you pray properly, you can reduce this promise of Hashem, this covenant, that will be only 210 years and not 400. So says the Arvei Nachal, Rabbi David Eibeshitz, this is the reason why Rosh Hashanah is Zecher Yitzat Mitzrayim. It is remembrance of the exodus from Egypt. Because we learn from the exodus of Egypt that with your prayer, you can reduce even the covenant of Hashem. You can change everything Hashem instituted and make it better and make your life better. So you see the great power of prayer of Rosh Hashanah. This is a Hasidic word. Now I wanted to show the power of tefillah in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a bit of a difficult passage, but we'll manage to go through it. It's in Choshen Mishpat, in the area of rental laws. It's in source number 4. I'll read already in the English translation. Again, I want to say thank you to Rabbi Chaim Metzger, the great of Rechav Chaim Metzger and rabbinic assistant at the Bayit, that helped me very, very, very much translating these sources. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch is the most important book of Jewish law, and he says, if you sharecropped or rented a field from your neighbor, and the field was eaten by locust or flooded, if this happened to the majority of the fields in that city, you don't need to pay the fixed amount. Let's say I'm renting from someone a field, and I can't use the field because there were locusts, there was a flood, and now the field is useless. I cannot use the field. Should I pay the proper rent money? The Shulchan Aruch says that if the flood happened to many fields and not only to your field, so because it's something divine, that all the fields are now ruined, you don't have to pay the price. You don't have to pay the full price of the rent. However, he says afterwards, that if he made a stipulation with the owner of the land to plant wheat and planted barley, or didn't plant, or planted and didn't grow, even though locust or blight afflicted the whole area, he is not free from paying the set amount he agreed. Let's say I rented the field in order to plant wheat. That was my agreement with the person who rented me, the field. And instead of planting wheat, I planted barley. I didn't do according to what we agreed. Even though that there was a flood that afflicted all of the fields around us, still, I have to pay the full price. If I would have planted wheat as we said in the beginning, and everything was flooded, I didn't have to pay the price, because it's what's called a makat medina. It's some kind of divine power that ruined the field. It is as if I didn't get a field. But if I changed the terms of the agreement and I planted barley instead of wheat, even though that there was this divine power and all the fields around me were destroyed, I still need to pay the full price. Why? Why? This is also makat medina. This is also some kind of divine power that destroyed the field. What happened? The reason is, according to Rashi in the Gemara, and according to the commentator Sma, he's the commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, he says something unbelievable. Unbelievable. He says at the end of source number 4, the Sma, Sefer Mirati 9, because the one who rented him the field is able to say that if you hadn't deviated from my instructions, it would have been a successful venture, because in my prayer on Rosh Hashanah, I didn't ask Hashem for success with barley, rather for wheat. You know why you have to pay a full price? I'll tell you why. Although all the fields in the country were devastated, but in Rosh Hashanah, our agreement was with wheat. I pray to Hashem, may this year wheat crop will be successful. And I didn't pray for barley. So because I didn't pray for barley, so it's your fault that all the fields around were ruined, and it's your fault, it's because of that you have to pay me a full price. You see what's written here? And it's written in Jewish law, in the Shulchan Aruch, that a person, a simple person who rents out his fields, has the power to pray to Hashem, and it's a legal argument. I have the power to pray to Hashem and tell Hashem, and tell the one who rented the field, listen, I could have daven to Hashem, pray to Hashem, and ask him that the barley will be good this year. And although there's a flood in the entire world, in all the fields around us, I could have changed it. With the davening of Rosh Hashanah, with the prayer of Rosh Hashanah, I could have changed this outcome. So you see the amazing and magnificent power of the davening, of the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. So I brought my machzor, my siddur of Rosh Hashanah, and I tried to see, is there any place in the siddur indicating some kind of prayer about barley, wheat, any prayer saying, asking for health, any prayer asking for wealth? You don't see in the davening of Rosh Hashanah any hint of a prayer for good, for personal needs and personal desires. You don't see anything of that. So the question is, you see how amazing the prayers of Rosh Hashanah is, but you don't see anywhere where you can pray, and you also don't see if it's appropriate to pray at all for personal needs on Rosh Hashanah. Is it? Are you allowed to ask for personal needs during the davening of Rosh Hashanah? It's not a simple answer. We see in source number 5, let's start about asking personal needs on Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot explains us that on Shabbos, we don't have 8, 19 brachot in Shmoneh Esrei as we have on daily prayers, but rather we have 7. Why? Why did our sages give us a short version of tefillah, of davening on Shabbat? So the Gemara says, "Delo atrechu mishum kvod Shabbat." I don't know how to translate this properly, but it seems that our sages didn't want us to be disturbed on Shabbos by long prayers, so they gave us a smaller version of davening. That's the reason why we have a shorter version of davening, because they didn't want to disturb us or trouble us with prayers on Shabbos. I think this might be a source for certain chazanim at shuls, that they don't have to sing too long, because Chazal said that we shouldn't be disturbed too long with prayers on Shabbos. So this is the reason that the Gemara says that we have a shorter version, because we shouldn't be disturbed by long tefillot on Shabbat. However, the poskim, the halachic rabbis, say different reasons. We see in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 6, that we say Havdalah, during the Ma'ariv of Motzei Shabbat, the Ma'ariv, the first davening session after Shabbos, we say the Havdalah, we say it at Chonen Adat, the first blessing of personal needs on Motzei Shabbat. Why not before? Why now? Says the Magen Avraham, the commentator of the Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, מפני שאסור לתבוע צרכיו קודם הבדלה. It is prohibited to ask Hashem for your needs before saying הבדלה. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask for personal needs. So because of that, if you want to ask for personal needs on the end of Shabbat, you have to first do during the davening and Chonen Adat, you have to say הבדלה, אתה חוננתנו, in order to be able to say, to ask for personal needs afterwards on the Shmoneh Esrei. So you see that you're not allowed to ask for personal needs on Shabbat. That's what you see according to Magen Avraham. The same thing says Aruch HaShulchan, another halachic rabbi, lived 120 years ago. Omdim Mitpalel, he says, I'll read in English, we say seven blessings at the Midah when we pray on Shabbat. The three first ones, like during the week, since they are praises of Hashem, Shabbat remains like the week. But the middle blessings are requests that we don't say on Shabbat. We don't ask for personal needs and requests on Shabbat. It's not appropriate. Why is it appropriate? Why shouldn't you ask for your personal needs on Shabbat? What is the logic behind this? So the Midrash says, Midrash Tanchuma Parashat Vayera, he says, V'lifichach eh mitpalalim b'Shabbat 18, she'im yeh lo chole betoch beito, nizkar v'rofeh chole amo Yisrael v'umitzer. Why do we ask for personal requests on Shabbat? Shabbat is a day of joy. Shabbat is a day of happiness. And if we'll ask for personal needs on Shabbat, so let's say someone has an ill person in his house, and he asks for Hashem, please let this ill person be healthy. So you will remember it. You'll remember that this person is ill, and then you'll be sorry. And Shabbat is not the time to be sorry. Shabbat, Hashabbat itna Yisrael likdusha le'oneg limnucha ve'lo le'tzar. לכך מתפלל גימל ברכות ראשונות, גימל אחרונות והמנוחה באמצע. Shabbos was given to Israel for sanctification, for joy and rest, and not for sorrow. So because of that, one must recite the first three blessings and the final three blessings, and replace the intervening ones with the prayer of rest. Because we should not ask for personal needs, because we might remember our personal needs, and then we might become sorry on Shabbat, and Shabbat you're supposed to be happy. So you see that you're not supposed to ask for personal needs on Shabbat. How about...
Isn't there an exemption for refuah, really? We do make Misha Berachos in the shul.
Okay, so I mean,
We do make a qualification. We do say Shabbos Melizik, but we do say Misha Berach for refuahs.
So, Baruch Hashem, I recognize the voice of my dear Gabbai, Rabbi Zriel, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Zriel, and that's a terrific question, and you're right, we changed the nusach of Shabbat, because of the problem of asking a personal needs on Shabbat. And to be honest, it's not so simple to say that prayer. We do say it, in fact, but it's not so simple. Some might say that we'll be more sorry not praying than praying. So because of that, they allowed it. But it's a terrific question, and it's actually a question, how come we do so? I'll speak with you about it in shul. But a great question here, Israel. So this is about Shabbat. This is the reason why we don't ask personal needs on Shabbat, because we should not be sorry. So we see on the one hand that the Gemara says that the reason we don't ask for personal needs on Shabbat is because we don't want to be disturbed for a very long tefillah. Lo atrechu mishum kvod Shabbat. But on the other hand, we see several sources that because we don't want to be sorry on Shabbat. So what is the real reason? So the Abu Dra'am, he's one of the first commentators of the Siddur, he says that there's no contradiction, it's all one explanation. Why our sages didn't want to disturb us on Shabbat with long prayers? Because they knew that if we'll ask for our personal needs and desires, we might be sorry. As he says, אלא משום כבוד שבת לא רצו חכמים להטריחו כדי שלא יצטער. שאם היה לו חולה, אומר בקעת חולים. ואז הוא נסע, אומר בקעת השנים. The reason, what is the meaning that Chazal didn't want to disturb us with long davening? Not that there's a problem with a long davening session. No, it's terrific. All the chazanim should have a 3-hour davening session. No. The reason why they don't want to disturb us, it means that they want us to be troubled with our sorrow. So because of that, they give us this shorter tefillah. But there's no problem to have long tefillah. The problem is to ask for personal needs because it will cause you sorrow and anguish. So this is about Shabbat. Shabbat, as we see, it's not the most important, most appropriate thing in the world to ask for personal needs. What about Yom Tov? What about every other festival? Pesach, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, maybe. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and source number 10, he says that there's no distinguish between Shabbat and Yom Tov. He's talking about when there's some kind of affliction that happens to a city. So if there's affliction, the city fasts and they cry out in prayer and it blasts the shofar. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, there is no fasting, no crying out or blasting on Shabbat or holidays. Not only shofar, not only fasting, but even not crying out. You should not cry out and ask for personal needs on Shabbat, nor on Yom Tov, because as we said previously, it's the time to be happy and not the time to be sad and focus on only positive things and not things that you need on your day-to-day life. Same thing is written in Maaseh Rav. Maaseh Rav is a book which brings us the customs of the Vilna Goen, a great rabbi that lived 250 years ago. And the Maaseh Rav says that that according to several sidurim, according to several prayers, there is a prayer on Yom Tov called Ribono Shel Olam, and it's a very nice prayer that you ask for all these amazing things for you and for your family. The Vilna Goen lo yaomer v'lo shum Ribono Shel Olam. He didn't say the tefillah of Ribono Shel Olam because it's Yom Tov, and Yom Tov you're not supposed to ask for personal needs. So did the Gomer Vina. He didn't ask nor on Shabbat nor on Yom Tov for personal needs. So we see that we're not supposed to ask for personal needs not on Shabbat. We're not supposed to ask for personal needs not on Yom Tov. How about the Day of Judgment? How about the Day of Rosh Hashanah, the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So we'll start actually with source 13 from the Tikkunei Zohar. This is a quote of the Zohar. And the Zohar says, "We all shout praying on Yom Kippur like dogs. Give, give, give me food." In Hebrew, give is hav. And if you say hav, 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 you sound like a dog. So the Zohar says the people who ask, give, 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 hav, 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 we pray like dogs. Give me food. Forgive me. Even asking for forgiveness is praying like a dog, quote unquote. And asking for personal things. Forgive and atone and let me live. We're written for life. And we have the gall just like the star worshippers of the nations who demand things without any shame. Aren't you ashamed to approach Hashem on the Day of Judgment, on the day of His coronation, and you ask Him for your personal needs? You're asking Him not only for health and wealth, but also for forgiveness. And He's talking about Yom Kippur. You're not supposed to ask Hashem for anything on those days. It's the day that you're supposed to crown Hashem and praise Hashem. Uvchen ten bachdecha, give your fear among us. But we're not supposed to ask for anything. And if you ask for something, so you're like a dog. Have, have, have. Give, give, give. It's not appropriate, says the Zohar, to ask for your personal needs on Yom Kippur, and I guess as well, also on Rosh Hashanah. And that's how it's written in the Siddur of Ishe Yisrael, of Rav Yitzchok Meltzin. Rav Yitzchok Meltzin was a disciple of the Vilna Goen, and he wrote a commentary on Siddur. And he says that, I'll read it in English. And in this, every man and woman who weeps and mourns in this great and terrible day of judgment will trust in the intention which we have said. Meaning not to ask for your personal needs, but rather to ask to glorify Hashem and coronate Hashem and crown Hashem once again. And this time will cast the soul away. You put your soul away. Don't think about yourself. Think only of Hashem. And what happens will happen. His sins will certainly, and he says, his sins will certainly never be remembered and will never come to mind. And the mouths of the accusers who seek to harm him will be stopped up. And this is the record seeker said, I am to be beloved and my beloved to me. The meaning of Elul is Ani le dodi ve dodi li. I love Hashem. The only thing I want is great things for Hashem. So says Yitzchok Meltzin on Rosh Hashanah, you should not pray for your own needs, you should pray only for the glorification of Hashem. There is a time that we do actually ask for personal needs on Rosh Hashanah. The Sfat Emet, the second Rebbe of Gur, so he says that there is a time that we ask for personal needs on Rosh Hashanah, and it's when we dip the apple in honey, when we eat the head of the fish, when we eat the head of the lamb. So he says, how come now we can ask for personal needs? How come during the simanim, when we eat all these special foods, we can ask for our personal needs? So he says that we're not actually asking for personal needs. He says that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, is a day that we are crowning Hashem, that we are coronating Hashem, and Hashem is now becoming the ruler of the universe. So in that case, when we decide that Hashem is the ruler of the universe, so we actually are indicating and saying that everything in this world belongs to Hashem. He's the ruler of the universe. And we can utilize everything in the universe to connect ourselves to Hashem. So now that we meet the apple and we see the honey and we see the head of the fish, we see Hashem in front of our eyes. How do we say Hashem? Sheniyeh l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. Sheitenu shela tova metuka. We can utilize even these daily mundane things to worship Hashem. So this is in fact not a contradiction of worshiping Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, but rather, this is it. This is the way of worshiping Hashem. We're not asking for our personal needs. We're utilizing every mundane thing in this world to connect ourselves to Hashem, the ruler of the universe. This is the explanation of the Sfat Emet. How can we do ask for personal needs while the simanim of the feast of Rosh Hashanah? This is what...
I think, Rabbi Mann, that answers the question that I just asked you in the chat.
Oh, I'm sorry that I didn't notice. I'm not...
No, it's okay. It's the difference between asking for a personal need or for a tzibur need. And the simanim, I think the lashon is more for the kahal, for klal yisrael, not for personal.
I'm not 100% sure that you're right, but it is in the plural.
Shatiten lanu. It says shatiten lanu.
Yeah, interesting. Very good, very good. Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, very nice answer. Maybe that's the difference. We're asking for the tzibur. We're not asking only for our personal needs. Very good. Okay, so we see that it's not so simple to ask for personal needs on Rosh Hashanah. However, Baruch Hashem, we can, in fact, halacha lemaaseh, we can ask for personal needs. The Chazon Ish, it is brought down in Source 15, that the Chaim Kanevsky, Shlita, said in the name of his uncle, the Chazon Ish, mutar levakesh b'Rosh Hashanah tefila bakashot hapratiyot, shekol hayom ukbal lebakashot. We can ask for personal requests in the prayer of Rosh Hashanah because it is a day entirely designated to request from Hashem. This is the day that we should approach Hashem, that we should ask for Hashem. The day was designated to ask things from Hashem. I didn't bring in the source sheet, but the head of the Musar movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salantel, said that someone who doesn't ask for his personal needs on Rosh Hashanah, so he doesn't understand the meaning of Judgment Day. If you understand and comprehend the meaning of Judgment Day, so you would definitely ask for your personal needs. If you don't ask for personal needs, it means that you don't fully understand what is the true meaning of a Judgment Day. So you have to ask for your personal needs. So what happened here? We saw these lovely sources. Have. You're acting like a dog when you ask for your personal needs. How can you still ask for your personal needs? Because it's not good to ask. You're acting like a dog, as we previously said. So there are two answers given by relatively contemporary rabbis. They did pass away, but only just a few 30 years ago, something like that. The first is the Michtav Miliyahu, Harav Eliyahu Dessler. He was the Mashgiach at Ponovich Yeshiva, and his absence is felt to this very day. And he says the reason that although the true and proper way of davening to Hashem in general is to ask for Galut HaShchinah, as he says, and whoever doesn't do so, ask for a person's needs, he's like a dog, still, if you only ask for Galut HaShchinah, for Hashem's, for the divine presence, for the sorrow of divine presence, so you come out to be kind of a phony, says Michtav Miliyahu. That's really what disturbs you. The sorrow of the divine presence, Galut HaShchinah. Come on, I saw the way that how you are stressed at work, how you're stressed when someone is not healthy at home. You have all your personal wishes. If you only ask for Hashem's needs, it's not a true tefillah. It's not a true way to approach Hashem. You're kind of a phony. That's what says Amichai Eliyahu. So because of that, you have to ask for your personal needs in order for it to be a real prayer, a real piece of davening. But the other answer that is given by Arav Yechezkel Levinstein in his book Or Yechezkel, so he says, of course, eventually we should aspire to get to the level and ask for Hashem, for Hashem's kavod, for the sorrow of Hashem's presence, and ask for Hashem to be closer to us. Of course, that is the final destination, and we hope to reach that high level. But still, we have to be aware of our current level, and we have to approach and communicate and contact Hashem according to our level. And today, our level, I guess to most people, maybe to only just a few not, we have personal needs. Everyone needs something at home. Everyone needs health, wealth. Everyone wants a bit of vitamin N, nachas from his children. Everyone needs these things for himself. So we'll start in the beginning with asking for our personal needs. And by asking it on the day of judgment, we recognize that we can't gain it by only ourselves. We need Hashem. We have to rely on Hashem. We court it and crown Hashem by saying that we need your help with all of these things. Eventually, we'll get up and higher in the levels of working Hashem. And eventually, we could get to that level only asking for kavod Hashem, only asking for Hashem to be near us once again. But today, according to our level, we should be real, we should be authentic, and ask things that we need, and with that way, we should communicate with Hashem properly. Thank you very much, everyone.